evidence to back it up instead of a partisan slant that was false.
Sure, it would have helped her write a better article in the first place. Yeah,
that's true. But let's get back to the main thing why I'm talking to
you. This is hugely important. And this is a story that ought to be a big mainstream story because, for example, there's a huge Supreme Court case about it. It's the Indiana voter ID law and the fighting that's going on right now about this fake voter fraud scandal. Why do you think this story is so important, and why do you think it's not getting enough coverage?
Well, probably the number one reason, obviously, is the primaries. Everybody's so focused on what's happening in New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina, and, you know, if Huckabee's going to try to change the Constitution to the Bible, is McCain going to say that everybody's lost their jobs forever? Where's Romney going to flip-flop again? How many times is Giuliani going to say 9/11? But this case is one of the most important cases that we'll ever see. And I've actually contacted a lot in the mainstream media, and I'm going, how come you're not covering this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm sending info. I'm not sending stuff I'm writing, right? I'm sending New York Times, Washington Post, ACLU, sending articles and saying that this could shift the balance of the electorate. This is trying to get around a 1965 Voters Act. It's trying to purge the rolls. And the responses I'm getting is, it's a little complicated, but, you know, we're all tired from the primary.
Mm-hmm. And it is those New York Times stories and Wall Street and Washington Post stories that you're forwarding exist because it is being covered to the extent that there's a Supreme Court case about it. And almost everything about which there is a big Supreme Court case will get some kind of legal coverage. But it's not getting covered as this could tilt the balance of who gets elected president. This is huge for the 08 election. This is whether or not Americans are going to be, by and large, able to vote in November without trouble, or whether or not it's going to be a huge nightmare for people dealing with these anti-voter fraud initiatives put up by the Republican Party.
I completely agree. It's starting now. I've been talking to the ACLU and all friends, and Digby's writing some incredible. If anybody's read Digby, digby.blogspot.com and .blogspot.com, and she's writing a lot on it. It's starting to get out there, and I think once there's a sort of a breather in between primaries, it will start to be covered, but by then it may be too late.
Yeah.
Because what we're finding, obviously, is with this Bush administration, and I believe with Roe and with Cheney, they've taken this partisanship to a level that we've never seen before, and they've done it to the courts. Now the courts, you could, if you were a conservative judge or a liberal judge, you looked at the facts, and then you ruled on the facts. And you might like the decision or not, but it wasn't so, you didn't feel like it was this partisan craziness all the time. I mean, Judge Greer in the Schiavo case is a great example of that. He was a man who was, he was excommunicated from his church that he was going to for like 30 years because he ruled on the evidence of the case.
Mm-hmm.
And he sided with Michael Schiavo. And the guy got excommunicated. Why? Because he followed the rule of law, and he didn't follow this political John Bolton, John Roberts, partisan view of things. And every decision on this Indiana case has gone strictly down partisan lines.
Wow.
And what we have now is the Supreme Court is, there has been arguments. And actually what's coming out of it, and people don't even understand that John Roberts had a huge role in the 2000 election. They tried to say originally, I think Jeb Bush and the others, he wasn't around. He was, I don't know, there maybe 30 minutes. And now, of course, we later find out that he was writing briefs and getting right in there. And we know about Rehnquist and all his history of trying to purge, black and Hispanic Americans off the rolls. And this has been going on since we were allowed to vote,
yeah.
Right? And it goes back to African Americans, obviously, but to almost any ethnic group. And their idea is there are more of us than there are of them. And how do we stop that? Well, by purging the rolls. That's the bottom line in this case. And there has not been one case. The Bush administration did a big five-year evidence of voter fraud panel. And in 5 years, they found out that there was no evidence of any voter fraud being committed.
Yeah.
And but so what they're arguing is that, well, you know, you need a voter ID for the people that know what this is. They what the Indiana law is that if you are going to vote, when you go to the polling station, you have to show a valid form of ID, whether it's your driver's license, birth certificate. And if you don't have that identification, sorry, Charlie, you can't vote.
And it just so happens that, you know, double-digit percentage of people in Indiana doesn't have state-issued valid photo ID. And those people who don't have that form of ID, and so therefore would be completely disenfranchised by this law unless they're able to get it between now and the election, those people disproportionately are typical Democratic voters. They're not all Democratic voters, but enough of them are Democratic voters in terms of people who are poor, people who are minorities, people who are disabled, people who for some reason don't have a driver's license because they don't drive. Those people are disproportionately Democratic voters. And so if you disenfranchise enough of them, if you effectively disenfranchise those people by making it so hard for them to vote that they never get their votes counted, then you have a permanent Republican advantage in any election, hopefully starting in 2008.
Exactly. I mean, it's a percentage game.
Yeah.
If you look at, you know, we might talk about 1% or 0.5%. Well, that could be, you know, 100,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at it in those terms. I mean, they have professionals now. They're hiring people to look at voting laws. This isn't like activists. They're hiring groups to look into these cases. And they know that some Republican voters will be purged from the roll. But when you look at the amount that you just said of Democratic voters, it's like 10-1. So that's a no-brainer for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, and it's very scary.
And it's not just a legal machinations issue. It's not like, oh, is this rule technically correct and does it comply with the 19th? It's actually a huge political strategy that ought to be evaluated as a political strategy. And whether or not the court is going to let it fly, this Republican-dominated court is going to let this Republican political strategy fly, ought to be covered as a political story. So is the way you get the media to do that by trying to build critical mass of coverage in the blog world? Do you try to do it through individual lobbying of people in the media? How do you fix it?
Well, right now I'm doing working on obviously a blogger push.
Mm-hmm.
So once we start really talking about it with everybody, it will start getting more coverage. I've been behind the scenes lobbying this to just a lot of different, and it's not like I have people contacting me, but all the major news services, I'm just flooding them with info. How come you're not covering this? Why aren't you doing this? This is important. And they try, you know, and see, here's the key for everybody listening. It's not just Indiana. There's 20 other states that have laws into effect, you know, that have put certain type of voter ID laws into effect. This is the landmark case they're looking for so that then so many other states can start enacting them.
Yeah.
And it'll go nationwide.
Yeah.
And just think about this and remember Ohio, right? In the rich neighborhoods, they had the nice voting machines, and the lines were like 20 minutes. In the poor neighborhoods, they had bad voting machines, and not enough. The lines were 4 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say you're on that line, and now you have to show somebody ID.
Yeah, and the ID that you've always shown, like whatever you've always used in order to show up and vote, is no longer good anymore. But you didn't get any warning of that. You've showed up, and now you're going through your purse looking for your utility bill or whatever it is, trying to make the case that you are who you say you are. Yeah, what happens to those lines?
Right, and yeah. So now that becomes 10 hours. People start leaving.
Yeah.
You know, it's beyond belief, really, you know, because as Democrats, or, you know, we would never, like, think like that.
Yeah. And, you know, the coverage here, you can't necessarily change the court case that is already in process. You can't necessarily change it, although media coverage certainly does have an effect on judges and juries. That happens. But what you can do, I mean, what this Supreme Court case will do will create an environment in which all of these laws could be passed in individual states, and the fight may go to each individual state to stop this when Republicans push for it to be happening in more places.
And the way they've timed the decision, now they're hearing the case now, but they're not going to render a decision till maybe June, right, or July. Well, there's only 2 months.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the state legislatures on what's the valid ID that you're allowed to use. So, you know, we have to start mobilizing now.
Yeah.
And figuring out ways to, A, really go after the state legislatures, and hopefully maybe we can influence, which I doubt, Judge Kennedy, because, again, he's the swing vote.
John Amato, this is, I'm really glad you're working on this. Stay with us about this, and we're going to have you back to talk about it again. But let me know what I can do to help with this. I'm with you on this, on the importance of it, and what we need to push for. So thanks for joining us, John. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Rachel. Thanks,
John. John Amato is the proprietor of Crooks and Liars, which is at crooksandliars.com, which you already have bookmarked. I don't need to tell you. It's the Rachel Maddow Show, Air America Radio.
This is the Rachel Maddow Show.
Inconceivable!
Look at you, Singapore.